I am delighted to be joined by Margaret Walsh, a physiotherapist and founder of Fairla, Ireland's first LGFA-approved playing kit designed specifically for women and girls and first of its kind for Gaelic Games. Margaret, how are you?
Good, thanks for having me.
You came with a big bag of goodies, I see.
Yes, I thought take the opportunity that we're sitting down that I can show you some of the gear. So I brought you up some shorts to try.
Right, I'm very, very excited about that. I think some people that would be listening might hear a first for Gaelic Games and be surprised and just maybe assume that there's always been shorts and that any of the shorts that they see women and girls playing in have been designed for them. But it's not the case.
Yeah, I know. And it's 2026. Isn't that crazy? But it isn't even just shorts, to be fair. It's team wear. Specifically, I suppose, look, there is a famous book called Invisible Women, if you ever get a chance to read it. And the blueprint just for the world we kind of live in is based off men. And that's just because they went into to the workforce first. I suppose they started playing sport first. I mean, women weren't allowed to compete for a long time, not really up until recently. So I'm definitely not blaming anybody. It's just how the world has evolved. So things that were already in existence were then just handed to women. Like, for example, air conditioning is set off a kind of the male anatomy's inner temperature gauge. So sometimes in offices and things like that, women will feel different.
That'll explain the war that we have out here.
Exactly. Yeah. So lots of things like that, you know, seat belts, that's a famous one. And it is just, you know, women didn't drive. So I suppose in my mind, it makes a lot of sense. And it's just team wear and sportswear. But now that female athletes and female sport is so big, I suppose it's a bit of a shock to think, wow, there's no actual team wear for female athletes. In regards like team wear, there is like maybe for athletics and things like that, but definitely not in Gaelic Games, no.
Yeah, and it just seems like such a no-brainer. Even when I saw that the company exists, I was like, of course. Yeah, because our bodies are built so differently. Mm-hmm. When did you decide to take action on this? Like, was there a specific moment when you thought, all right, I've had enough, nothing is actually being done about this?
Yeah, well, my story is a bit funny because it started 3 years ago. So I said just something that I thought everybody knew on a podcast, the Laura Dowling podcast, about, you know, specifically Gaelic shorts and a teenage girl and how her body changes and the shorts don't fit her anymore. You know, she starts her menstrual cycle, the shorts are white, like, why would you keep playing? And Laura was like, what? What? There's no shorts for girls? And I'm like, yeah, everybody knows that. But seemingly they didn't. So it was kind of a bit of a viral moment. I think on TikTok it was like watched about 500,000 times.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. And I just thought, yeah, great. So someone will solve that problem now. Not my problem to solve. So I'm a physio and that's my job and I love my job and I had a really busy practice. I've been doing it for 20 years. Didn't really want to invent clothes. And then I was approached to make them with a company and that was grand and it just didn't work out. And then another company and it didn't work out. And then I tried on my own and it didn't work out. And then 3 years later, I sat down last January with my husband and it always grated on me. Like, it really bothered me. And the reason it didn't work out with the other companies, nothing against them in a negative way, it was because I do think, looking back, the industry is male dominated. And no offense to them, but they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And I am so particular about things. And especially this, like, female health is just, I'm an absolute nerd. I can't explain it. I just didn't want to make it not right, you know? So we were never getting to that stage. And I do remember one particular company, the guy actually told me that I was making up the problem, that it didn't exist. So I actually stopped then for a while because I thought, you have made this up. You know, you have made this problem up in your head and it doesn't exist. Yeah, that was a bit annoying. But anyway, last year I sat down and said, nah, I can't. So many girls were still coming to me. So many moms were like, did you ever make those shorts?
And yeah.
Like, it seemed like I was the person to do it. And I felt like I genuinely felt like I'd let everybody down. Like, I'd said this, I had tried. And I kept saying, I really tried. And yeah, I just said, I'm going to give it a year. So I reduced my clinic hours completely, said 1 year. And my husband was like, 1 year and that's it. It's over. I don't want to hear about it again. So yeah, reduced my clinic hours, employed 2 designers, got designs made, tech packs, travelled around different parts of Europe looking at textiles and fabrics and completely immersed myself in it. Started my postgrad in DCU on the female athlete because I wanted to make sure I'd everything ticked.
So that's to do with the gear as well, yeah. That postgrad that you're doing.
Well, yeah, it was more about, so education is definitely my safety blanket. I love it. And it was such a great thing to do during that year, because anytime I did have doubts that were quite loud, especially in that industry. When I was doing my college, even though they didn't know I was doing that on the side, I was just doing the postgrad, it always reinforced, no, like there'd be little research that's coming out, or there'd be nuggets that the tutor would be saying, and you just be like, no, I'm definitely on the right path here. I'm definitely on the right path. So yeah, my postgrad finished and I launched at the same time. But I think they both blend together. You can't have one without the other. Like, I don't want it to be that it's just sportswear. It's about the female athlete. It's about retaining girls in sport. It's about educating girls on their menstrual cycle, puberty, pelvic floor health, all of those things, and how to improve their performance. And just as a side note, is also giving them a kit that's designed for them. So that's really what Fairla is. That's, I mean, the vision or the dream. It's not just about giving girls, you know, another brand. It's about actually, let's elevate everything to do with, especially Gaelic Games, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. Yeah, even the design process. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because coming in, having had no experience, what does that look like from start to finish? Because do you go in with what the men's shorts look like and say, we need to make this, but to fit the female body, or?
Yeah, so I was really lucky. So one of the designers absolutely knew nothing about Gaelic Games, and one did, but they worked separately. I couldn't decide on which one. And it's a 9-month process before you start sampling. So I didn't want to waste 9 months, so I worked with both of them. And then it worked out in the end because I blended both of them. But the girl, one of the girls, her name is Emily, and she's actually Welsh and lives in Australia, knows nothing about Gaelic Games, but turns out she's an absolute geek like me. So we looked at the shorts that exist at the moment, and I was very much like, I want them to look the same. I want the fabric to be the same because they're quite iconic.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you, Paul Mescal.
Yeah, and do you know what I was thinking the other day? I was like, I wonder would Paul Mescal wear my shorts? And I said it to somebody on an interview and they laughed. And then I thought, it's funny. If you ask Paul Mescal to wear ladies' shorts, it's funny, isn't it? But we've been wearing men's shorts forever. Yeah. The design process was I started what existed, and then I would have bought 500 million different pairs of shorts, and then took elements of what I liked, what I didn't like, and then we'd sit down and come up with like drawings and kind of, I suppose, different elements. You know, there's been lots of stuff that we've changed along the way. And then you go after that and you look at the fabric.
Okay.
And then you would decide on the fabric, and then you would have to find a manufacturer. That's quite difficult when you don't know anybody. So I sampled around a lot of Europe, and that would take a lot of time, and the samples would come and they'd be ridiculous, and then you'd spend more time, and then you'd realise, right, that's ridiculous, let's leave that manufacturer, go to another one, start the process again, same thing would happen, go to another one. Yeah, and then we just got really lucky that we actually said, right, Europe isn't working, so let's go to China. Went to China, and the factory actually is a female-led factory, which is crazy.
Brilliant.
And the first sample that came back from them was amazing. So then you do about 3 or 4 rounds of sampling, like changing different things.
And you're going over to China with the team?
So not at that stage. And then just recently, like a month before I launched, I went to China because I still was panicking. So me and, yeah, like the team is just kind of me and the designer, you know, and then there is no big team. But yeah, we went over to China and met with the girls over there, and it was a lot better because a few little snags and things that I had, or the next product developments, we were able to send them over our designs and they would make them before we got there. Then we could make changes in real time.
Yeah.
And 2 or 3 days later, they'd have the sample. So like a 3-month process that happens in Ireland, we could do in 3 or 4 days over there. So it was really worthwhile to be able to, because the next products we now have ready to go. So
did you ever at some stage, even during this year, think, okay, actually, it's not possible, or it's not worth it?
A million times. I'm not really emotional in public. And I would say I've definitely cried a lot more about these shorts than anything else in my life, which sounds absolutely mental. But it was really difficult. And a lot of times, yeah, I suppose just even that day, it's funny because I said something to my husband a while ago about that particular time somebody said to me, you're creating a problem. There is no problem. It doesn't exist. And he knows the person and he's like, what? And I was like, yeah, you know, delighted now. And he said, you never told me that. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't. I didn't tell him at the time because I actually believed it. Like I thought that this person was right.
Yeah.
And for the year of me reducing my hours in the clinic, I actually didn't tell anybody what I was doing. You know, I was still afraid to tell anybody. I said I was starting my postgrad, so to my clients, you know, I was too busy with that, too busy with the kids, and just wanted to really do that.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid that it still wouldn't work. I was afraid to say it out loud because I had said it before and then, you know, it never happened. So yeah, there was lots of times I thought, no, I'm not going to bother, or this is too difficult, and yeah, crying about it, or like when a sample would come and it was just ridiculous, you know. But I have to say that the designer in Australia, she's an absolute legend, or like the same person, which is mad. And she knows the industry, so she was so reassuring and kept reiterating that this is normal. I would have met then with a few other people. Like I know these guys, they have a clothing company and I used to give them physio. So I ended up calling them and been like, please, will you just meet with me? Met with one of them for a few hours and he just kept saying, this is normal, this is normal, this is normal. So
what was it like then when you finally figured out that this is it? When you got that sample back from the, was it that moment when you got the sample from the Chinese factory that you thought?
No, I still thought, oh God, what if these are wrong? What if nobody likes them? My husband has he has a few nieces, but there's 6 teenage nieces and they all play Gaelic football. So they lived in my house and I'd be putting shorts on them and taking shorts off and they'd be giving all the feedback. I still am like, I hope I've done it right. No, I don't think there was a moment. Everyone kept saying, I'm sure there's a moment you'd be like, oh, this will be great. Open some champagne. Well done. And no, because there's loads of things I still think I need to fix.
But you had your launch last week?
We had our launch, I think it's a week ago, maybe a bit longer. So, it's mad. The feedback has been insane. Like, I haven't come across anybody that said this wasn't a problem.
It's reassuring for you.
Yeah, and for a lot of the girls, I'll be emotional now. No, reflecting on it, I suppose the big thing is from girls, they are all like, thanks. They're all really grateful. Do you know, they're like, thanks for just caring, or thanks for listening, or this is really going to help, or, which is really cool, I suppose. And the mommies, you know, a lot of the mommies. And I said actually on... something on one of my stories one of the days, loads of orders coming in I noticed, and they're men's names and they're buying the period shorts and they're like, you know, for smaller sizes, and I'm thinking that's more than likely a dad buying these for his daughter, which is like really cool.
It's brilliant.
That's just amazing. Like, what I want Firla to be is that kind of, like, the whole message is to give girls a voice and a choice and to create change, and I think that's all the elements I wanted to bring into it, and that's definitely happening. Like, if men are buying period shorts for their daughter, that's creating a change. If girls feel that they have a choice, you know, then they also feel like they have a voice or they've been listened to. So even like on the bags for the shorts, I think I should remember now, I have I genuinely feel I've thought of most things that I could. So like on the bags it says, you spoke and we listened. Or even the names of the shorts are all like Irish girls.
Yeah, there's a real Irish theme throughout, even the name Firla. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Firla is a word just that I created. Most people are like, oh, I don't know my Irish. I'm like, no, you do, but you just don't know this word because it's not a word. So Firla is, the F stands for female, where I feel that everything should begin. Firla will never make gear for men, so it's just female only. Eir is after the goddess Eru, which our island is named after. And La is the end of my daughter's name, Nila. So I put that kind of together because it's the past, the present and the future. That's the plan anyway. And then it just sounded kind of cool.
Yeah, And so, and there's a real Irish theme throughout. All of the shorts are named after. Was that something that was really important to you to keep it?
Yeah, I didn't want girls to think, oh, you know, I have my period and I can I have the period shorts? I didn't want girls to feel, oh, I'm conscious of my tummy, can I have the high waistband? I didn't want them to ask for a short that they felt was something that was maybe disabling them, you know? Yeah. I didn't want it to be that. So I wanted it just to be, I prefer the Maeve short. And what does Maeve represent? I mean, Queen Maeve, absolute legend.
Yeah.
So, you know, strong, empowerment. So that maybe the short reflects a strong woman or gives her a feeling rather than a feeling of this is a hindrance to me, you know?
And this is the problem that I'm trying to solve here.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Nila, which is my daughter's name, means female Irish champion, which is crazy.
It's a great game. Great name to give your daughter.
Yeah. And like, obviously I had her before I started this, so maybe it was just meant to be. So the Nila is the period shorts, you know, so it's not a girl saying, I want the period shorts. It's the Nila shorts, you know, and I'm a champion or whatever. That's kind of the idea of it. So,
so there, we've four shorts. And
yeah.
You've got them with you today just to give us a look. So there's one that's kind of based off the usual GAA shorts.
Yeah.
But they look the exact same.
Do you want me to show you? No.
Please. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bit of a show and tell situation here.
Yes. So, yeah, the shorts, because that's what I was saying to you. People expect them to come and be like this, I don't know, loads of bells and whistles and things hanging out of them. But the whole idea is that they just look like Gaelic shorts.
Yeah, you can show them right up there.
Okay.
There we go.
So the idea is they just look like a standard Gaelic short, which most people are shocked about. But like I said, the Gaelic shorts is iconic. So I wanted them to look, but they fit differently. And that's the key. So this is just a regular short. It's called the airy short, a classic short, but actually fits the female. So no riding up. You can't see the backside when she bends or jumps, and they sit where they're meant to be on a female's hips.
Because that's the biggest thing. Like, I play myself, and it's the biggest thing you'd notice. It's like you either kind of size up and you're wearing them low-waisted, which you don't like to do.
And you have to tie them really tight.
Yeah, or they're hiking up, and then because they sit so much higher, they're riding up your back.
Exactly. Yes, because basically men are straight. Women go in, especially after puberty. So those shorts that worked before you went through puberty don't work anymore.
Yeah.
And imagine being 13 and going, what's wrong with me? And only me. Whereas it's everybody. So where the waist sits, then that short now will go up that bit higher. So you have girls then, like you said, they're up your backside and, you know, you feel them differently. You feel more exposed. You mightn't even be aware of it, but you are. And maybe like when you bend for a ball or to pick up a ball or whatever the case may be is, maybe you're a bit more reserved about how you're going into that tackle or you're going into that play. So yeah, anyway, they cover you basically. But they're not super long.
They don't look. Yeah, they don't look any different.
They don't look any different. People thought, oh, you know, they're going to be super long. They'll be like basketball shorts, and like girls like the Gaelic shorts, as in they wear them leisurely around a lot of the times, and they're not too bad. But it's when you move in them as a performance piece of equipment, that's a different story. You know, like you could wear them walking and they're not too bad, but you know, in Gaelic games, how many other movements do you do? How many other movement patterns? Sidestep and jump and skip. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So Gaelic shorts look the same, fit different, feel different, and they all have a hidden pocket.
Which is my favourite. It's my favourite thing about all of them. And I see the demonstration in the website that someone's putting the gum shield in them.
Yeah.
Because I'm keeping my gum shield in my sock. And that's disgusting.
Do you know what's really funny? We did our first fit session because I was still panicking that I had created a problem that didn't exist. So before I launched, I put a thing on social media, would somebody do a fit session? Chose a club that I knew nothing about because I wanted real feedback. Anyway, we did the thing and it was great and the feedback was phenomenal. So I was happy. But one of the girls at the end, she says on a little mic, she's like, I absolutely love the gut or the pocket. Because do you know what? When I'm playing championship on a Saturday night and I put my tan on and I put my gum shield in the sock, then I go out and it leaves a mark on my leg from the gum shield. The pocket is amazing. And we just were like, that's a unique selling point. Your fit tan does not get ruined because you have a pocket. But we hadn't thought about that. You know, the gum shield. We had thought about the gum shield in the sock. Obviously, that's a problem. And I actually tried to design socks to put a pocket in the gum shield.
Okay.
Doesn't work.
Okay.
So it's gone. But we then put them in every short. But we never thought about fake tan, you know, and how it leaves a mark. But that's like...
just another plus.
Yeah. So anyway, pocket, so that's the regular ones. And then we have the next, which is the Maeve. And again, like I always say, looks just the exact same, like Gaelic shorts. But for this, we have a high-waisted band support at the back. And built in then is actually a full compression short.
Yeah.
With a pocket on the side of the compression short. So this is for the female that maybe just wants support kind of from the tummy the whole way down through the legs. But as she's playing, she looks the exact same as the girl beside her. So she doesn't have to say, I need this, I want that, or I look different than anybody else. I feel different, but I look the exact same. And I suppose my whole thought was, let's design shorts for the female athlete across the lifespan. So, you know, from puberty and possibly, like, I mean, anyone can choose what they want. But in my mind, I suppose I was thinking maybe like the postpartum female. Because, I mean, you know, FIFA only released the new return guidelines to sport postpartum only now. Because in 2026, before that, there was no guidelines because it was just a given that you've had a baby and you never play sports again, or you don't compete at an elite level. Whereas obviously we know now that women are having children and returning to elite sports, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to make sure that we had something that maybe for those females. But also girls actually just love these. Of all ages,
we
it
love seems. A high waist in anything.
They love a high waist, yeah. And before we actually launched as well, some of my friend, the girls that helped me out, went out and did some interviews because I was still panicking. And one of the girls said something about, oh, imagine a high waist. And we were just going, this is insane, you know, that they had said, and we knew we had it.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Reassuring again. And that's the whole thing. We just keep talking to girls and women and getting the feedback and then, you know, changing it up, or like, we're not finished. I definitely am still open to feedback. Like, any time I send out shorts, I'm like, if you don't like them, let me know why. I have to make sure I don't take offense, because they're not gonna, we still have room for improvement, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, this then is the Nila short. Again, looks the exact same, has a built-in pocket, but in here we have built-in period underwear. So this is for the girl that has her menstrual cycle. I was thinking more along the lines of, again, that younger girl starts her period. You know, it's an hour's in a car journey to the pitch, and, you know, she's putting her gear on at home and she's not knowing what, I suppose, facilities is going to meet her. And then playing an hour's game. And I would say, I mean, I don't have the research, but I'm guessing that a lot of girls will just say, I don't feel well, I'm not going tonight. Like, would you agree?
Yeah, or you'd be trying to maybe put on a pair of undershorts, like those Under Armour ones, or separate skins just to compensate. Like, we saw a lot of the counties moving away from white shorts, and seen it in soccer as well,
exactly.
Which is great, but that does just look like such an added benefit. And if we're talking, like you do, about stopping girls dropping out of sport at that early age, it's just putting a really easy and simplistic solution in place, isn't it?
Exactly. Because when you look at all the barriers that girls have to face, well, lots of them is very hard to change, but this is an easy one. This is an easy one that we can come up with a solution. So that's what the period shorts, that's the idea is for that girl, that she feels that bit more secure.
These shorts are LGFA approved.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
So what that means is, so technically for the shorts, I didn't actually need to have the license because there's no LGFA printed on them, but it's for the jerseys.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're playing ladies football and you have the LGFA logo on it, you need to have a license for that or any other gear. So I wanted to make sure that when I launched, again, me overthinking everything, I wanted to make sure when I launched that I had the license so that I could fit girls out in a full kit. There's no point in them just wearing these shorts and then they don't match the jerseys. Like, how would that work? I was able to get the license.
Do you send them to the Ladies Gaelic Football Association and they see and they say that we approve this, or what?
Yeah,
what does getting the accreditation kind of look like?
Yeah, so the process is that you would send in, you'd have a meeting with them, send in your gear, show them, and they look at, I suppose, the quality and different things like that. And it was a bit of a lengthy process for me, in fairness to the LGFA. They hadn't seen this before.
Yeah.
And when I approached them, I didn't have my finalised samples. So I went in and gave them this big presentation. I had done research. I think I had 290-something participants anonymously had given me research. I sent out in any Gaelic WhatsApp groups I knew, went up, presented this, presented all the findings, and then I had all my drawings. So in fairness to them, they kind of kept meeting with me throughout the process.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they approved the license just before I launched. So that was a big moment because in regards like an established brand, do you know, I wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
So
it gives you kind of the mark of trust.
Yeah. And, you know, fair play to them because I think the LGFA are... they are trying to create change, you know. They work really hard to do things like... so, yeah, it was great. So the new CEO is Lynn Savage. She's from Loud. So for that particular meeting, I was like, yeah, I'm from Loud too. but she definitely is really... what's the word?
Kind of progressive.
Progressive is the word, yeah. So that was the idea behind getting LGFA approved or getting the license so that you could make full... you know, so now I can make, I keep saying, any county. So, you know, you can potentially make a full county kit.
Yeah.
Whereas without the license, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah. It's pretty much almost to the day a year since we had the skirts and shorts debate. Did that make a big difference to what you were doing? Did it kind of reinforce your idea of, okay, this is an entire cohort of girls who are saying that they're not comfortable in what they're wearing? Did that really reinforce you?
Yeah, so I was obviously in the middle of this and I was away in Poland with my husband and I started getting all these messages. And first of all, I was like, I have to go home. And he's like, for what? This is panic.
The women need me.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do at home? And I did think, well, first of all, I thought, oh shit, is somebody going to steal my idea? Because I haven't got it ready yet. And there was a bit of pressure there. And then I thought, oh shit, why don't I have this ready so I can give them a solution? And I thought, because the shorts don't work either, do you know?
Yeah.
And that was what I was thinking in my head. But I have to say, I am absolutely so proud of that moment and all the girls that were involved because the noise that they made definitely reinforced what I was thinking. And it definitely gave me that kind of like push to keep going. And just to see, wow, if we all collectively use our voice, how much of a change that we can make. And even the fact that the girls abandoned that match, you know, that they were wanting to unite in the bigger kind of purpose of this was just, yeah, like amazing. I just thought they were class. But it definitely helped in my head of doubt, for sure.
Margaret, thank you so much.
Yes.
Fairla, if people are looking for you... online?
Yes, so fairla.com and then obviously all the social medias.